other preachers here a couple of times this summer. And we talked about the lessons that would be assigned. I wanted to preach this lesson. And I wanted to preach it, I think, because of my love for you and my compassion for you and my hatred of seeing you suffer. Albert Einstein said, "You cannot solve a problem from the same state of consciousness that created it." And so I want you to understand that as I begin this lesson, and if you are in any degree in a state of unpeace, you will not solve that from the same state of consciousness that created it. One day I was in the car with Monique, and we were driving along, and I turned to her and I said, "Is this all Christianity is about?" And what I was referring to was charts and diagrams and sponsoring churches and these people are wrong and we're right. And is that all there is to it? Is it just a bunch of academic knowledge that we're supposed to learn better, supposedly, than someone else? And as time went on, I just started not only to notice in myself, but in my brothers and sisters in Christ, that although there seemed to be a settled satisfaction with what you know, but boy, were lives messed up. And about 6 or 7 years ago, I was just about to the point of leaving this church. And I thought, maybe, I was only 18 years old when I was baptized. And these are some of the warringest, judgmental people, unhappy, that I've ever seen. Maybe I just fell in with the wrong people. I was only 18. What did I know? And so I prayed, "Lord, I've been doing this 30 years and I'm missing something. I know a lot of stuff, but I don't have any joy. Where's this joy, this peace in my life and in the lives of so many that I see?" And then I was reading something one day, and when I read this paragraph, I literally almost fell out of my chair. And I've read this to a couple of you in months past, but I'm going to read this in light of what I just said and what my state of mind was. And this is from the book, "Will the Real Heretics Please Stand Up?" by David W. Burcott. And this paragraph says, "In the 1820s, Stone's movement merged with a separate movement begun by Thomas and Alexander Campbell, who were also seeking to restore primitive Christianity. One of Alexander Campbell's primary objectives was to achieve unity among all Christians. He felt that this unity could only be obtained by Christians forsaking all man-made creeds and traditions and returning to the forms, structures, and doctrines of the Apostolic Church. To this end, the members of the Stone-Campbell movement returned to the early Christian practices of weekly communion, congregational autonomy, and a plural ministry," which I take to be eldership. Maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but in each congregation. And here was the thing that floored me. Although the movement now focused more on primitive doctrine and ordinances than on holy living and the inner life, it did bring renewal to thousands of people across the nation. And when I read that, I said, man, I got in with a group of people who come from a tradition of focusing on doctrines and ordinances. Not that they're unnecessary, but we have been throwing around this word balance. And I want you to understand something. This lesson tonight is contained in every lesson that has been preached. And every lesson that has been preached is contained in this lesson. And I came to understand something. We're getting an unbalanced diet because we got to be right as compared to them guys over there. But was that helping people in their inner life? Didn't seem to be with that imbalance. So, peace. The absence of conflict. Let's sing the invitation song, I'm done. Is that enough? Is there more to it than that? The Bible speaks a great deal about peace. Peace with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Precious. The Bible speaks of peace among men. Glory to God in the highest, and peace among men with whom he is pleased. And passages could be repeated over and over that have to do with peace with God and peace amongst men. But tonight, we're speaking of another biblical category of peace, and that is the peace of God. And this peace does not come from your mind. Now, I'm going to say some things this evening that might make you think I have lost my mind. Because I'm not coming to you in the same state of consciousness that produces unpeace. And your minds are going to try to wrap themselves around it, but they're not going to be able to. Because this doesn't come from the human mind. It did not originate in the human mind. And so the best that I'm going to be able to do as I have taken on the task of explaining the unexplainable. I'm not going to try to explain anything to you. But what I will endeavor to do is point you toward the peace of God. How do you explain that which surpasses understanding? Can you explain the love of God to me? Paul prayed for the Ephesians that they may know, that is, means gnosko, to experience the love of God that surpasses knowledge. I can't explain the love of God. Can I experience it? Yes. Can I explain it? No. What about the wisdom and the knowledge of God? Oh, Paul said, oh, the depth of the riches See, I'm overwhelmed. Both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Can you explain the compassion of God? Seek Jehovah while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him come to Jehovah, and he will find compassion, and to his God, for he will abundantly pardon, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I cannot fathom the compassion of God. And he tells me, in essence, Daryl, don't even try. Come, wicked, unrighteous, come. I'll forgive you because I don't think like you. You may not be able to comprehend that, yet it's true. The mind wants to, and it's made for this. It wants to grasp. It wants to judge. It wants to label. It wants that concrete manifestation that it can grab onto. But in God's book, there are things your mind can't. So surely if God's love, wisdom, knowledge, compassion are unfathomable by the human mind, it does not surely surprise us that his peace would be beyond our ability to mentally grasp. You see what, you think about what we do with God. Not a person in this room that even has the beginning of an inkling of an idea, possibly, maybe, of the vastness behind that word. And so many times, what do our minds do? Create a mental idol. I've got him. But that isn't him. And I'm going to tell you, it was scary for me to let that mental idol go. The peace of God, the peace that God gives, cannot be conceived or imagined by the human mind. I'm not going to try to explain. See, we've tried by saying peace is absence of conflict, and it is. But since we couldn't go any further, we just stuck right there. The mind gave it a definition, and we walk around in a state of unpeace. Because that doesn't work. So although our minds cannot conceive of these gifts that come down from above, coming down from the Father of lights, we can acknowledge something about the source of this peace and the nature of this peace and some of how to access this peace and what some of the obstacles are that keep us from experiencing the peace of God. Let's start and talk a little bit about the source. Oh, look at there. I'm always a day late and a little behind on these. Okay, there we go. Talk about the source. Well, obviously, the source of this peace is God, since it's the peace of God. In John chapter 14, Jesus, as he would soon be leaving his disciples, and they were distressed. And in John 14, he said to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Don't be troubled. In verse 27, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Don't worry. Don't be troubled. Don't be fearful. Believe in me. Believe in my Father. It's going to be okay. It's going to be perfect. The Apostle Paul reminds us that only in Jesus Christ can our minds be preserved in peace. He never lost sight that all of the happiness and security of believers is traced to the Savior. Love what Paul said to the Colossians, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. To which you were called in one body. And be thankful. You were called. I was called to the peace of Christ. Called for that peace to rule in my heart with thankfulness. See, it is not just confidence. Not just mere prayer, but it is confidence in God as he is revealed in the Redeemer. How well do we know him? And as I'm speaking, I'm hearing these other lessons just ringing in my ears. How well do we know him? You know, my mom died some years ago, 15 years ago or so. And my mom loved me. My mom loved me so much that my dad sometimes in a drunken state would accuse her of abusing me. "You're abusing him!" But she never abused me. She just loved me. And that love she had for me, the love that I felt from her, I feel just as strongly in this moment as I ever did. She's still here. And I still feel that love. Jesus is unseen. He's not here with us physically. We don't know him according to the flesh. But do you know him to the point where you feel his peace I see him asleep on that ship as the storm is raging. He's not worried about anything. And you know, it's like if you have a fire burning and you take a log in your hand and you place that log next to that fire, and that log you place there begins to burn with the same fire that was already burning. When you get next to the Lord, and when you know him, when God reveals himself to you through him, and you stand next to him, that same fire will start to affect you. And the peace that was a part of his being starts to become a part of yours. Quite amazing. What about the nature of this peace? See, what's fun about being in the present moment? I don't have a list of things because who knows what the Lord will reveal. This is a peace that is given. I love the words. In the book of Numbers, this beautiful benediction that Moses said to the people of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you His son comes into the world, peace be with you. We were called to that peace. So it is a peace that God gives. It is a peace that is unaffected by circumstances. I'm going to read a short passage from the book of 1 Thessalonians. That was written to a group of fairly young Christians, young in the faith. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 13, Paul wrote to them, "For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God which also performs its work in you believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They are not pleasing to God, but hostile to all men. These people suffered persecution. They suffered the loss of their friends, their loved ones. And yet Paul had the nerve, I say, with a smile. In 2 Thessalonians 3:16, to pray, "Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance." The Lord be with you all. Even these circumstances? Persecution and people being murdered. Your own families, I'm sure, were turning against them. Thessalonica was very big on worshiping the Caesar. These Christians were a political, economic threat to the well-being of Thessalonica. And they were persecuted for it. They suffered for it. And yet Paul says, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. Circumstances don't touch the peace of God. It is a peace that Paul said in Philippians 4, guards your hearts and minds. From what? From anxiety. If you experience in your life that feeling of unease, it's almost like a background static. There's just uneasiness. Never just here and able to just be, but always that uneasiness. You're experiencing what the mind does. I want you to notice something sometime. You just take a day and just notice your thoughts. And I will tell you something, see if I'm not right. They will all either be in the past or in the future. Past regrets, past failures, future worries, what's going to happen? How am I going to get this done? It never wants to come and just be. It's quite a phenomenon how the mind works. But this peace guards your hearts and minds. You know, had Bible classes where we'll get into Philippians 4 and Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. And you know what Christians want to do? They want to argue. And I understand when these arguments come up, I know it's their minds. I know that they don't really understand what's going on. The mind can't conceive of that. And Christians will say things to the effect that is not possible. I'm here to tell you it is possible. Because I'm living it. And even though the mind says, if you don't worry, you're going to perish. Your life is going to come apart at the seams. It's all going to collapse. It's only gotten better. It hasn't collapsed. The Philippians were used to seeing Roman guards, Roman sentinels standing guard. And this peace guards your heart, the seat of your intellect, emotions, and will from anxiety. It keeps anxiety from corroding your heart. So in Philippians, Romans, let's go through the whole Bible. In Proverbs 4:23, he said, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. Watch over your mind, but I wonder if you can watch over your mind if you are your mind. Or are you something apart from your mind? As strange as it sounds, I told you I'd say some strange things. Your mind is a tool to be used when it's needed and to be set aside when it's not. And when my mind is set aside, see, it's kind of like this. Breathing happens. You don't think about it. It just happens. Circulation happens. And thinking happens. That's what brains do. They think. But when I've put it aside, it wants to keep going, but I just let it keep going. That's okay. See, because I understand something. Although every one of those thoughts wants to be taken seriously, wants to be considered true, I know better. They're not all worth taking seriously. I just let them go. Oh, look at that one. Okay. But when it's time to engage my mind, I engage it, and it's a great tool. Okay. It's a great tool. I better get on with this. Let's talk a little bit about accessing this peace of God. Julian of Norwich said, I don't care who Julian of Norwich is, but what was said, I think it's pretty good. Peace and love are always alive in us, but we are not always alive to peace and love. And so it's a little misleading to talk about finding the peace that surpasses comprehension or understanding because you already possess it. But we're kind of like a fish. Let's say I'm talking to a fish, and I mention water. And the fish says, water, what's that? Now, picture a fish. Where's the fish? See? Surrounded, inundated. And then a fish swims around the ocean searching for water. See? And it's sort of like peace, the peace of God, love, joy. We were created to live with peace and love and with joy. And it's already here. But how do we get to it? How does that fish learn what water is? He just notices where he is, right? And we have a hard time with that because we're either back in the past or worrying about the future. And we can't see where we are. This is reality. There is no other reality. When I say, well, what am I going to say next? Well, I don't know, but what's he going to say next? There is no next. There's just this. It's all there is. It's all there ever will be. You know, when you were born, when you were conceived, you entered into a moment. A moment. And we get the moment mixed up with the content of the moment. There's only one moment. That's why, if you notice, it's always now. It never changes. The content changes. And we get focused on the content. And we don't notice, here we are. There's peace here. There's no problems here in this moment, are there? Your mind's going, yeah, but, right? But that's not this moment. This is this moment. This moment, there's no problems. We're sitting here together, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Holy Spirit in our midst, reveling in the beauty of God. That's our reality. So you have to live in the present. No one, after setting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold on it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. What does that leave us? It leaves us today. See? And your life won't fall apart. You know, I know what I've got left, and see, I'm outside of time right now. But clock time is a reality. See, I'm outside of psychological time, but clock time is there. Just trust God. Live in the present. Trust God. The steadfast of mind, said the prophet, he will keep in perfect peace. Why? Because he trusts in thee. Trust in Jehovah forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. So you don't have to get all new age to have peace. And I know, preachers, tell me if I'm wrong. There are times when we preach and we think, oh, if everybody would just really believe what I'm going to preach this morning, if they just would really believe it, if they would really trust God in this, their lives would take a quantum leap if they would just believe. If you would just believe Him. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may be filled with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Believing. What a great thing to have an epiphany, the Christian. And then one day it just hits you. Hey, this ain't so complicated. God didn't make this hard. I can access a peace that is beyond human comprehension if I'll just believe. Oh, that mind, though. Yeah, but we could find ourselves in paradise, and then we'd say, "Yeah, but." Am I right? See, it isn't that we don't possess, that God has not put within us the capacity to be connected to Him who is the source. We are as connected to Him as those sunbeams that are coming in through these windows are to the sun. We're a part of Him. The life that is in us. Know what I mean? Him. He is life. We are life. And through that faith, we access. One person said it this way. I took these so I could read them here. There's no confidence that a man can have in his own powers, no reliance which he can repose on his own plans or on the promises or fidelity of his fellow man, and no calculations which he can make on the course of events can impart such peace to the soul as simple confidence in God. Well, I think it's obvious that when I get done with this tonight, how much more could have been said? So, but what I want you to understand is this. I guess I'll take one of those. If you take nothing else, take this. I want you to understand. You know, if I give you directions to my house, and you go down there and get on 167, and you get down to where it branches off onto 405, and I say, you take exit 5, and you get down there, and you park your car on the side of the road, and you start studying that sign. And you stop there every day, and you study that sign, and you find out how tall it is, how wide it is, how thick it is, what shade of green is used, what shade of white is used, how tall the letters are, everything about that sign. What we do with the Bible, we learn everything about it. Facts. But if you don't go where it's pointing, what good is it really? This book is full of signposts pointing to things that your mind cannot grasp, fathom. But if we will just go, believe in me. Believe in God. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be fearful. Instead, believe. Follow that signpost and experience the peace of God. Problem is, we just don't believe him. Say, we believe in him. There's a difference between believing in him and believing him, isn't there? Well, let's talk about some of the obstacles. To experiencing the peace of God. One obstacle is inordinate guilt. That mind reminding you, man, I've seen Christians that people have been in the church for decades, and they're still suffering because of how they treated their parents when they were teenagers. I mean, they're suffering. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, man, if I wanted to go there, I could get myself curled up in the fetal position in some hospital somewhere, and that'll be it. You know, one of the major causes of depression is inordinate guilt. But you know, I'm told if anyone strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And that's talking about God's gracious act of forgiving us. Well, I know his thoughts are not my thoughts, his ways are not my ways, therefore I'll just accept the forgiveness. Thank you. The only reason I can smile right now is because of the cross of Christ, and God can forgive me. And he took the initiative. It's all his idea. And then, of course, there's worry. Back in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said in verse 25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, or nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. And if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or with what will we wear for clothing? Do you know that Jesus has me looking at birds? Wonderful meditation. Looking at birds and looking at, see, my lilies of the field are evergreens. And I look at those trees and I see that activity, and every time I look at those trees, they're the same. To them, it's, if I ask the tree, the evergreen tree, what time is it? What would he say? What time is it? It's now. What else is there? And every time I consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, I'm brought back to myself. And if I've been worried and troubled and I go and I'm in the present, the Lord told me to do this. And I go and I stand with those manifestations of God's creation that don't worry about anything, and yet look at, they're doing just fine. Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things. And so few things are necessary, and Jesus said, really, only one. Only one thing that's necessary. Mary is seated at the feet of Jesus. She's not worried about all this stuff out here. So there's only one thing necessary, and she's chosen the good part, which will not be taken from her. He wasn't putting Martha down or saying, you're no part of me or anything like that. He was just making a comparison. And we get, don't we, so worried and so bothered about so many things. And really, there's only one thing. And when we die, all that baloney will be stripped away, and there we will be, just us. No, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. No, just us. And I'm sure many people on their deathbeds wonder, why did I waste so much time worrying about all that little insignificant junk? Well, we get ourselves focused on the things which are seen. You know why I enjoy life? You know why I enjoy preaching? This is the most fun. I'm having so much fun right now. Why I enjoy getting on a learning curve and learning something new? And you know why I enjoy it so much? Because it's all temporary. I do not gauge my worth based on anything in this life. Because no matter what it is, I'm going to relinquish it. And so I may as well just have fun doing it. And enjoy, as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes so many times, just enjoy your labor that God has given you under the sun, for this is your reward. On and on we could go. And I'm sensing it's probably time to wrap up. What do you think? I'm just getting that sense. I don't know what time I started, and I have no idea how much time has gone by. But I'm just starting to feel that way. So I guess the bottom line is this. If you are in a state of unpeace, you're not going to change it from the same state of consciousness that produced it. And let me suggest to you that perhaps the state of consciousness that produced it is a state of unbelief. I've been a Christian 40 years. I don't care. 40 years, 40 seconds. It's all the same. Time is a total illusion. That's why I loved it. The first night getting up here to preach, you know, you think of all the, you know, the summer, you know, 6 months away, and everything, you know. What is that? Here I am. See? Content has changed again. The moment's the same. Commit your way to God, knowing that He will make everything right. And people who do that have a peace that is elsewhere unknown. It's not complicated, but I can only point you there. Making our requests known to God. Going to Him with our sins, our wants, our requests. Committing everything into His hands. Maybe we can begin to obey the oft disobeyed command, be anxious for nothing. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting 85% of your anxiety upon Him. All of it.
Yeah, but who's going to take care of?
All of it. And you will face the vicissitudes of life from a place of complete calm. And like that prodigal son, you will come to yourself. And you will face life from that state of consciousness. And like that young son, you will then have the ability to choose the wisest course. When Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing," He was right. They didn't know what they were doing. But in Acts 2, Peter preached a sermon that cut all the way in to the real person, and they came to themselves. And instead of crucify him, it was, "Men and brethren, what do we do?" And they knew the peace of God. So if we commit everything into His hands, then we too can know that peace that is beyond understanding. Just let that soak in. Don't think about it. It'll just mess it up. Just let the truth be. Let it be in you. And peace will be with you. Do we have an invitation song? Okay. Thank you for listening.